Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so excited that you have joined us today. We'll be right back. Welcome, welcome, welcome to VFN Radio, and we're so glad that you're joining us.
Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and I'll be filling in today for Greg Lancaster. And joining with me today is the man, the producer, get ready, everyone, Pat Hamilton.
Good morning, John.
Good morning.
What's that on your head?
It's called the hat, Pat. It's called a hat.
All right.
It's called the hat. And the one and only, Chris Hamilton.
Good morning, John.
You sure that's a hat?
Good morning. Good morning. I got to get you one of these. Apparently,
it looks like a paper plate. Man. It just kind of lays up there.
Yeah. Yeah. I know that's going to mess up the gel, but this Christmas for you. I'm going to hook you up. Officially hook you up.
Okay.
I am so excited to be here this morning. I mean, we have so much to talk about. I love being with our VFN Radio listeners. I do want to give some shout-outs this morning to Gordon. Oh, my goodness, Gordon, you're such a great encouragement. I want to just welcome just everyone. Give a shout-out out there to Eddie. Oh, my, still, Pat, still no word.
Nothing, huh?
On this insanity. I'm telling you that I'm going to send out the people now. We're going to go out on a search. We're going to find out what's going on. And I promise I'm going to get back with you. I'm going to get you the real deal, the scoop on what's going on there with that insanity. But I want to give a shout-out to Eddie and Pastor Debbie out there in Patterson and Juan and Gina in Texas and Joanne, keeping everybody healthy at New York Presbyterian. Also want to give a shout-out to all of our new VFN Radio listeners. Pat, Chris, we have surpassed our 5,000
awesome
likes, yes, on the VFN Radio page, Facebook page.
That is cool.
The virtual stadium is just increasing and getting larger and larger, and we're just so grateful and thankful to have this opportunity every day just to be sharing what God just laid on our heart with everyone. And we want to welcome today Evelina and Mary and Michael and John and Jet and Moshe and William and Patricia and Sue and Eugene and Leonard and Carol and Caroline and Teresa. Oh, my goodness. All over the country and all
amazing.
Over the world. It's just
totally amazing.
Totally, totally amazing. Well, you know, I want to share a psalm with you this morning. Psalm 32 says, blessed is he. Blessed is he, Pat. Listen, Chris. Listen to this. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven. Whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit is no deceit. Can I get an amen on that?
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Can I get an amen on that? I mean, my goodness. Verse 3 says, when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave me the guilt of my sin. Let me tell you something. This right here is a little encouragement.
A lot of encouragement.
Yeah, that's a lot of encouragement. You're absolutely right. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven and whose sins are covered.
Thank you for the blood.
You know, I mean, thank you, Lord. I mean, Jesus is so amazing that all of our sins, each and every single one of them, if we confess them,
that's right.
If we acknowledge them before God will forgive each and every one of our sins.
That's right.
And you notice that the psalmist wrote that he was wasting away day and night. That's something about sin. Sin will just destroy at you or eat at you away. Mm-hmm. It'll become oppressive, you know, especially when you know God.
Oh yeah.
You know, because you're experiencing the conviction, the conviction of the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
And it's when God's just letting us know that, hey, that right there is not, that ain't right.
All right.
That ain't right. But we have the opportunity, every single day, to talk with the Lord and to acknowledge and have that relationship. Say, you know, Lord, you know, when I said that, when I did this, when I thought that, when I touched that.
Right, right.
Well, that was wrong. That was wrong, Lord. And I sinned.
Mm-hmm.
I sinned, whatever that was. Lord, would you forgive me? I don't want that in my life. I want to get that out of my life. I want to stop that. I want that to be, this is not your ways. It's not glorifying you.
Mm-mm.
And guess what? We ask the Lord to forgive us. He'll forgive us.
That's right.
He'll forgive us. But we'll waste away if we don't. Let me tell you something. Blessed is the man who the Lord will forgive his transgressions.
Mm.
You know, there's another scripture that reminds us in James 5:16. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. And there's nothing like godly relationships, nothing like being able to talk with your pastor, with spiritual brothers and sisters, with those who are discipling you, mm-hmm. to be able to share things and just get things out, get prayer, you know, get, when you confess these sins, it's amazing that the healing that mm-hmm. occurs. You know, I'm right. not talking about just share this with anybody, you know. We're talking about you growing in God, having that relationship where you mm-hmm. can say, you know what, I messed up, whatever that may be.
Right.
And say, you know, I want to be accountable. Lord, I need you to forgive me. I ask the Lord to forgive me. And just putting it out there just brings such great freedom.
Right.
Such a release.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I love it. Was it Jesse Duplantis says? He said, you better embarrass the devil before he embarrasses
That's
you.
Right.
Just get it on out. Get it on out. Mm-hmm. My goodness. You know, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory. I know there's people that act like they ain't never sinned. I know that. But that's an illusion.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That's fictitious.
Right. It's not real.
It ain't real. So Pat, talk to us. I really want you to encourage us on this turkey. I mean, was it really all that Chris had hyped it up to be? I mean, was this really tasty and juicy? I mean, I'm hearing about this fried turkey. It were a few days past Thanksgiving, but I'm still, you know, all my leftovers are gone. They're just finished. They're done.
Oh, we're still munching on them, man.
Really?
Yeah, we cooked, was it two birds?
Two birds.
Yep. Yeah, two turkeys.
Does he really have the skills, as they say, to pay the bills? Does he have a...
Hey, I'm still eating it.
You're still...
It's that good. And nothing like fried turkey, man.
No, there isn't.
Once you've had it, you'll never go back.
Yeah, except for that peanut oil costs twice as much as the turkey itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
But
it actually costs more than the turkey. That's no joke.
Yeah,
but
no
it's worth it, though.
Well, you know, we've been talking in recent days about Israel and what has happened with the ceasefire and
mm-hmm.
peace for right now between Hamas and Israel.
All right.
Which Hamas, as we know, is the militant arm of the Muslim Brotherhood.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they had the Iron Dome. We talked a lot about the Iron Dome, and we have this little video. Hopefully we can make this available on the torch, and there's no sound to it, but they show this graphic, Pat, Chris, they show this graphic on how this Iron Dome works. Now, it's very complicated, a lot of computer technology. We're not going to get into those type of details, okay?
Right.
This is like, this is the simplified ABC version, okay? A rocket is fired from Gaza or anywhere else, okay?
Right.
And this dome, it's the technology that sets up over a certain parameter.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, they fire another missile that basically destroys the one that's coming in.
Oh, wow.
And with such amazing precision. I mean, it's just, I mean, think of the rockets going up in the air. It has to find that where it's coming from,
mm-hmm.
know where it's going,
mm-hmm.
and being able to shoot something out that's going to intercept it before it actually lands.
Oh, wow.
I'm pretty complex. But then, you know, I saw a picture on Facebook that I really think is the true Iron Dome. It's the true Iron Dome. And the picture that I saw was a hand coming out of heaven that actually put was over all of Israel.
Oh, wow.
And no rocket was going to come into Israel. That is the true Iron Dome.
That's right.
It was so cute, but it's so factual, because he who watches over Israel neither slumbers nor does he sleep.
Mm.
And I thought, come on now. That's the Iron Dome.
That's the real deal.
That's the real deal. We're thankful. We're thankful. We're thankful for everything that the Lord is doing around the world, and of course the protection of his people. But you know, I want to talk about too, you know, as a result of this brokering, this power brokering, which we shared on The Torch. My mm-hmm. goodness, if you haven't been on The Torch, you need to go to VFNTV.com and go to The Torch. Because on The Torch you're gonna hear not just God's news behind the news, but if you listen closely, if you listen often, you'll actually hear some news before it actually occurs.
All right.
And prophetically speaking, it was shared on The Torch that some things that actually came to pass. And mm-hmm. you know, one of those, which, and you can see a couple segments there, you can't negotiate with evil.
Right.
And another one is brokering power in the Middle East, Hillary Clinton, Morsi, Hamas, and Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And after this negotiation was said that, you know, Hillary Clinton would negotiate this, everything would come out just fine,
right?
Peaceful, yeah, you know. And Morsi, who is the president of Egypt, has now taken, you know, basically dictatorship over Egypt right now. He's just implemented himself as pharaoh and as king.
Mm-hmm.
And in recent development, today the courts are suspending in Egypt. They're not doing any court proceedings or anything at all. I mean, people are protesting.
Right.
It's looking like he's going to have to back away of what he put himself in charge over.
Oh, really? I mean?
They're saying that they're the only balance of power. It's being reported by Fox News that the judicial system is the only perceived balance of power when it comes to the presidency in Egypt. But you know what that means. You know, if the judges are getting in your way, well, take the judges out. You know?
Yeah, right.
So Only time will tell, but I'm telling you that this area, we need to continue to pray for Israel as just so many things are happening. And I've just haven't seen prophetic fulfillment happen so fast. I mean, it's just like clicking away.
Right.
But we just definitely want to keep this whole situation in your prayers,
mm-hmm.
because the Muslim Brotherhood is definitely behind a lot of the stuff that's happening over there, especially with Morsi. Morsi comes from the Muslim Brotherhood. But switching here from the Middle East, I do want to talk about, and we did mention yesterday, we talked about different things as far as
rights
and different things that were happening with the UN. But I also wanted to ask if you guys had heard about this, because right now so many things are happening and parents are being misled or not informed,
mm-hmm.
or you know, being their authorities being usurped, if you will, just being totally just, you know, pushed aside.
Right.
There's something just came out. The American Academy of Pediatrics, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have this thing called the emergency contraception, right? The Plan B.
Oh.
Well, according to Philly.com, Health and Human Services' Kathleen Sebelius ruled that girls under 17 need a prescription for emergency contraception. Okay? So that's under 17, you have to have a prescription. You mm-hmm. can't just walk in and buy this thing over the counter.
Right.
Well, the American Academy of Pediatrics, okay, they urged its member physicians to write them in advance.
Now
listen to this. They want their members to provide emergency contraception to teenagers in an immediate need, and also write prescriptions in advance for you know, so they can have just in case they ever need. Now, I mean, if you're a parent and your child is sitting with a physician, unless you just could be waiting on the, you don't have no idea what's being spoken of.
Right.
I mean, I encourage you, get involved as a parent. I mean, get involved. Be with your children. Speak to your children. Encourage them. Share with them the truth. But you can't have, I mean, this is the American Academy of Pediatrics. Just circumvent that. Just get invited in advance, just in case, sweetheart. If you ever need, you know, you ever need a plan B, you ever need this,
right?
You know, and basically, it's a hormone that's similar to synthetic hormone that's similar to birth control that prevents the ovulation, and you know they're saying that about 85% of the time, when taken within 72 hours of unprotected sex, that it'll work, and you know the young girl was not going to get pregnant.
Right.
Come on now, and the decisions that are being made about children, the decisions that are just being made, and it's like pushing parents aside, not being included. You got to have these conversations. You got to have these conversations with your children. You got to have these conversations often. You got to bring God's word into it. You got to know what's going on and being informed.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't allow people just to be making these rules and these marginalizing your parents.
Exactly.
And we heard from Angus Jones yesterday, and Star of Two and a Half Men, who basically said that his program was filth, and that he came to God, and he didn't even want to be on the program anymore, but he's on the contract, and he says, I don't know how anyone could be a godly person and really be on the program. Told his viewers and his fans, stop watching it. Say, don't watch this stuff.
Right.
Don't watch this stuff. And it's just time for just the parents to be involved, for everyone to know exactly what it is that's happening. And I really want to get a chance to talk about this more. I know we're going to go to a break here soon, and we're going to talk about some other things. But we really need to know what is happening and being informed with our young people, and speaking to them in regards to truth, as well as what's going on in government, and not closing our eyes. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people today are just saying, well, I'm just not going to be informed. I'm not going to know anything.
All right.
Just whatever. They're going to do what they're going to do anyway. Well, hello. It's we the people. We the people, right?
That's right.
We'll be right back. Steve, Pat, I got to tell you, I've had two experiences when it comes to reading the Bible. I've read the Bible before, and it was like a dictionary.
Yeah.
Didn't make any sense.
Right.
Couldn't understand it.
Right.
And after one page, I said, okay, that's enough.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But then I've had another experience.
Yeah.
And that's when I spent time abiding with God.
Big difference.
That the Bible literally has come alive.
Mm-hmm.
That which with each word as I read, each verse, I just sense God's presence with me.
Mm-hmm.
I sense that he's speaking to me, and I find that his word gives me direction. It gives me the light that I need. I tell you, if you've read the Bible before and you're struggling because it just doesn't make sense, maybe you don't know where to start, I want to encourage you to get a plan at iabide.org. It's a plan, a very simple plan. It's going to help you to have an abiding relationship. What does that mean? That means that you're going to find a set time, a set place where you're just not going to try to study the Bible, because you can't study the Bible. It's not a tutorial.
Mm.
It's not a textbook. It's a living book that comes with the author. You're going to have an opportunity to sit and engage God, and he's going to engage you. iabide.org, where you can learn to hear the voice of God.
I don't know if you actually found out about our newsletter. We have a newsletter, and it's called The Torch. And what this is about, it's about sending you and our listeners who subscribe to it on a weekly basis or biweekly or monthly, whichever one you desire, just let us know, what happened during that week. So many things happen in our life. We get so busy, and sometimes we forget, or we want to share with our friends. Well, you can sign up today. You can subscribe today for The Torch. The Torch is the newsletter for the VFN TV and the Daily Radio program that we send out to you in your email, an update. What happened that week? What happened with some of the segments that happened on VFN Radio? What were some of the things that were loosed on VFN TV? What's happening prophetically? It'll come to you in your email if you sign up for The Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on subscribe and sign up for The Torch today so we can keep you informed tomorrow. That's VFNTV.com. I think about that Promise Keepers, when Coach McCartney began, you know, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, we just got to get men together and we got to get people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea. It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. But the problem is when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
And what God birthed in us at that particular point was, you know, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you go look at our history, our history started with next step. And it was it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, you know, and they went back to sleep and they got back seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dust. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily. We finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death. And we had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus and fill one particular stadium. And he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. Think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden, people would find God. People would get saved. And they, and he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time. Mm-hmm. And you think about this, you think about how very specifically that here we are today.
Right.
What we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums filled with people. We've seen them filled with people all across the nation. We've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began to work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, in VFN Radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN Radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see. Where, think about it. So, and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him. But with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium, for $1 per person, it looks like, think about it. I mean, if you just write $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled yourself all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown in their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's a dollar a month, maybe it's $2 a month, maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once, and look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me is Pat and Chris. As we come back from a break, we talked about, my goodness, the true Iron Dome of Israel, the hand of God over Israel. Exactly. How beautiful is that?
Exactly.
But we wanted to just talk about, and want to play for you a previously aired segment. And the title of the segment is, it's called, Is It Really All About Us? You know, it's so important as we as a church begin to focus on what really matters, and it's Jesus Christ, right? And Him crucified and the advancement of His kingdom, not our kingdom. Oftentimes what gets in the way of that is us.
Yeah.
And so we really have to start thinking about this. Is it really about us? Why do we keep bringing ourselves up? You know, we are so blessed to live in this nation. And, you know, we only make up 5% of the world's population, yet we consume most of the world's resources, the food, the money, the oil. And what we really need to get back to, where it's really all about the Lord. I mean, it's really all about God. How can we advance God's kingdom and be a part of what He's called us to do if we are going to be the biggest stumbling block to that?
That's
let's
right.
get encouraged. Let's really find out. Is it really about us? Listen up.
This morning, you want to be a California weatherman sometimes. You just want to say, it's the same as yesterday. It's perfect surfing weather, you know, luscious, you know, or maybe, the people of the islands, like the Bahamians and all, they're just so relaxed and so calm and so easygoing. You know, not all of them, but just they got this easygoing, you know, and it's like, it's still beautiful. The wind's blowing or whatever.
Paradise living.
But, you know, it's just not like that when you turn your back on God, when you just, you know, you can, it seems that way. It seems like, you know, that if it was nice yesterday and it's nice today, it means it's going to be nice tomorrow. But the suddenlies begin to happen, and the Lord laid on my heart, you know, that you need to go to the VFN Torch and click on prophetic words. And we need to get Johnny Foote in here to be able to talk to everybody and just to share what's on his heart. But I'm really believing, and it's just this, you know, this, you know, we're just so selfish as a people. We're just so, it's all about, you know, us as a people. And, in this word the Lord gave me this morning, you know, in my abiding time, we look across this whole land, and it's like, we might not get over this until there's some great oppression for a while, you know? Mm-hmm. And we're looking at what's happening with our leadership, and it's like Josiah's, you know, lineage after Josiah's gone. And if you hadn't watched Josiah, go to VFN TV and watch Josiah. But we are being handed over so rapidly and so fast. We're being so infiltrated. And things that I heard, you know, Johnny Foote say some time back, you know, you want to just say, that was like history. That's like black and white movies and newsreels.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, they're seeing right now in Colorado, Russian, you know, big bulky Secret Service type Russian men shooting in the ranges who speak fluent Russian. In Colorado. Hmm. And so this one man who is former law enforcement goes and talks to, who was shooting on the range, and he noticed that the guy had a Russian gun, you know, and so he looks at it and says, oh, where did you get this from? He looked in the sights of the gun, and it had the Russian star on the sights of it. And then the guy responds to him back in Russian, speaks Russian to him. And the other guy just jumps all over him, and he's saying, English, talk English. And so they come back out. You know, part of Johnny's Foote's word was about the center of the United States and what's going to happen in the center. And a lot of things you might not know about the center of the United States, but a lot of our stuff is there. Our weapons are there, and our, you know, things that, you know, our national security stuff is there.
Right.
And you can say what you want to. This is not a political situation. This is a church situation. And the answer is God's people saying we're wrong and we're sorry. And then accompanying that with living a right life by God's grace and mercy. I mean, and, you know, I know it can happen. And I hear, you know, prophetic words that are north. I hear prophetic words that are south. And I hear prophetic words that are east. And I hear prophetic words that are west. But God is yes. Mm-hmm. You know, God is not, he's not confused. So it's going to be one or the other, but it's not going to be yes and no at the same time. Mm. You know, it's not going to be, you know, if one person's, you know, saying, you know, this is the best time that America has ever seen, you know, a prophet.
Right.
And then somebody else is saying that it's going to be major because the sin is rampant and we just bought into this and bought into that and, you know, and we got to repent. If we don't, then this stuff's going to happen. I mean, one of those guys are liars. You know, one of them are lying. And you know, prophecy, the biggest thing about Revelation chapter 2, when God's dealing with his church, not the world, he's talking about prophets. He's talking about, you know, Jezebel, who calls herself a prophet. And so one thing about a lying spirit and all that kind of stuff is that a religious spirit is that it's going to always say, you know, it wants to prophesy. It wants to be known as a prophet. It wants to talk as a prophet. It was like,
right.
But just because you want to be known as a prophet and just because you want to prophesy, and by the way, just because you prophesy, Matthew chapter 7, it doesn't mean you know God.
Right.
And so he says, you know, in Isaiah, this is important because, you know, Ahab loved looking for people who would give him a word that made him feel good, you know, and because of our culture, and we're into this feeling. I'm getting right into it this morning because I just really believe this is from the Lord for us, you know, to talk. This is a conversation that we're having. We can't get over ourselves. We just can't get over ourselves. It is not about us. And how come we keep coming into the equation? Why do we keep bringing ourselves up? Why do, you know, when we're only 5.2% of the world's population, approximately, you know, we have most of the wealth, we suck most of the resources, we're drunk on the oil of the world, we're the ones sucking up all the oil. Only 3% of the church itself even honors God as God by giving him their, which means 97% are robbing God of his tithes and offerings. Mm-hmm. Only 18%, according to George Bono as well, are reading their Bible, which is the word of God. Thy word hath I hid in my heart, that I would not sin against you. Well, if I'm not reading my Bible, it's a guaranteed I'm in sin. Mm-hmm. I'm just in sin. If I'm not reading the word, because he says, thy word hath I hid in my heart that I would not sin against you. Well, one way that the enemy deceives us is to make us feel better about our sin. Or to imagine this, the way that the enemy can make us feel better about speeding in our cars is take away all the speed limit signs.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
But the problem is, he's not going to take away the police.
That's
so you're just going to get pulled over and you're going to get a ticket and you're not going to know why you're getting a ticket.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so what the enemy says, hey, if you don't read the word of God, if you don't read the laws of God, if you don't read the commands of God, therefore you're not breaking any.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to get pulled over by the justice of God. You know, and suffer major consequences. And it's just really tough. I mean, it's just a really tough, tough thing. And, you know, preaching the gospel and the Great Commission and being a disciple is not a good idea. It's just not, hey, I think it is a command from the creator of the universe and an expectation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because we can go astray. He said it would be better for you to never known the truth, America, than to known it and walked away.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a dog returning to his vomit. And a doctrine has been preached that there's no probability of losing your salvation. If you think about this, if it's your mouth and your heart that gets you in, right? You confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, then you enter in and God receives you. But if your mouth and your heart can get you in, you really don't think your mouth and your heart can get you out?
Hello.
Is that like a one-way valve? Is that like some little backflow valve that goes on for salvation? We call it backflow gospel. Mm. That, you know, once you flow one way, it'll never flow the other way. Which is probably the worst lie of all, because that means now you're going to bust hell wide open with a dusty Bible that you never read, deep in speeding sin, because you never even looked at the speed limit, and angry with everybody instead of taking ownership for yourself, because there's no witnesses or suspects. You're not going to be able to have somebody who preached to you a doctrine that said, hey, you know, just once the water flows one way, it'll never flow back, because this is a gospel, a backflow gospel. There's no backflow here. I mean, once you go one way, you know, with God, you can never go back. And you got to be a liar to say that. But you got to be a liar to say that, because God's word says it. Jesus says it. The church that God writes to in prophetically in Revelation, he's writing to the church. And he says, unless you return, unless you repent, unless you turn to your first love, if you don't leave Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, who's leading my people astray, you're going to end up in the same bed of suffering. You know, and this is not being said. But that the best lie you can tell somebody is they're right when they're wrong. And that's the best lie you can tell, because then they're not going to do anything to even pursue the probability that they're right, they're wrong. It's like if I just even thought possibly that I need to check myself to see if I'm in the faith, then I would be reading my Bible. I would be reading my Bible, and some of the words that came to me this morning, and I'm verifying its source first, but it's just so bears witness of my spirit. I'm going to be sharing with you this week. But listen, you know, if somebody's been more worried about your money than your soul, but you've been paying them off so they won't mention your soul, both of you guys are guilty parties.
That's right.
I mean, you can't call that man or woman as a witness before the throne of God, and they can't call you as a witness before the throne of God, or a suspect. I mean, you got to stand alone. You got to say, well, really, you know, I knew that if I kept on doing this, then he wouldn't challenge my sin. And the other one says, I knew if I quit mentioning sin, then he would continue to give me what I wanted. So both of them are getting what they want in that relationship, except God. And I'm just concerned. I'm deeply concerned. You know, Israel just fired the first shot in protecting their borders and thwarting a terrorist attack on Israel. And the church sleeps. I mean, it just sleeps, the church. And you're talking about, we're not talking about buildings here. You know, look at the people that come out of the building. Look at the people that are meeting in the coffee shops, the ones that are believers. That they're just sleeping. I mean, it just feels like a vacuum to me. A vacuum is like if you take the air and you suck it out of a container, it's like sound doesn't move. It's a vacuum. Mm-hmm. And it's like we're in a vacuum, and the church is saying nothing. And the question is, will I lose my tax-exempt status if I actually say something that we're in sin and that we're about to lose our country? Well, will I lose my, which means this, will I lose the money that I want so desperately that I think I have to be able to tell the truth? I mean, is that really going to measure up? I mean, it's so ridiculous. Can you imagine? But the church in China is 100 million believers. 100 million believers, and they do not have a tax exempt status.
Right.
They try to get lost in the woodwork. They just kind of, there but not there, but faithfully there. And it's like, oh my goodness. You know, and it's like, and I'm praying yesterday, and I'm just saying, God, and God is powerful. God can turn this around. God can, he can shake this thing. And it's like, he is God. And he has the ability to respond. But the question is, will he even find anybody that will stand up and say, I will stand in the gap. This is wrong. And God, you are God. And these things can turn. Are we just going to sit back silently and just say, yeah, I knew it was happening? It's like, You know, you just need to be, if you're going to talk about you knew something after it happened, you know, we don't even want to know you. Mm-hmm. You know, you're just a prideful person filled with fear, and you didn't want to tell anybody what you knew, and now you're going to show up because you want to be recognized that you knew it. But let me tell you something. God just let you in on what he was telling a lot of his people, and you were just too afraid to tell anybody. You know, at least, you know, you think about it, at least be seen in the histories of eternity that you fought for God, that you fought for what was right, even if we're going to lose this country, which I'm trying to delve into reasons why we should, God should give us, but it boils down, I think, that because he's good, and sometimes he just reboots. If you understand, sometimes God says, listen, okay, at this point, I'm just not going to remember your sin anymore. I'm just going to let it go. And sometimes you got to do that in relationships. You got to go, you're never going to make this right.
Right.
You know, let's just move on and hope it works out. Mm-hmm. And God does that. And my prayer is like, you know, Lord, you can. You are God, and you can move. You can do this. You can do this. And
this is the time. I mean, God can do anything. And if we reboot, you know, we can start again. The whole idea is that it starts with us. It starts when my people. But we're living in really serious times. And we got to hear prophetically what God is saying to his church. But in order to hear what he's saying, we definitely have to be awake. And it's like, if there's ever a time to be awake, if there's ever a time to be listening and be close to the Lord, now is the time, because God's speaking.
You know, and he says in Isaiah 43, he says, you know, you go out there and you plant basically a seedling in a tree, you grow it, you know, you cut it up, you cut half of it up and you burn it for fire to cook your food on it. And another piece, you build a house with it basically or something. Mm-hmm. But the other piece, you carve an image out of it to make it look like a person and pretty it up a little bit. And then you treat it like a god.
Mm.
And then you bow down to it. Mm-hmm. And he says, you know, he's talking in Isaiah, and he goes about how stupid this is. It's just so stupid. And he says, you know, and you don't even, he says, it's such stupidity and ignorance. This is what he says in his word. He says, and you don't even know to ask yourself the question, is this really a god? Can this house, this job, this car that I'm living for, this stuff and things, is it really God? Do I really believe that I'm not bowing down to them when I say no to God because I want this or want that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that it will cost me something? Mm-hmm. Am I really saying that I'm convincing myself that I'm not making myself a god when I refuse to die to myself?
Mm-hmm.
And we think that God's going to accept our explanation. Well, this is why I worship me over you, God.
Right.
And it's like, oh, okay, I totally get it. Mm-hmm. I totally get it. Idolatry? Oh, come on in. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Right.
Move over here to the lake of fire where all the idolaters are, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. We'll get with you in a minute.
We'll get with you in a minute and have a seat in the heat, right?
That's right.
And we've gone so far that we think idolatry gives us access to God, that it's not, it's a wink. God winks at sin.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, my heart breaks, but my cry to God is like, God, you know, God, you know, do something.
Yeah.
You know, break through. And, you know, you see all these, you know, things people are saying, hey, we're going to pray for 40 days. We're going to pray for 40 days. The election's going to come. We're going to pray for 40 days. And I thank God for the 40 days of prayer. But where were we the other 365 days? Are we going to just wait and ask God every single time for a get out of hell free card and get out of judgment free card? Are we going to begin to live for God? Listen, we are the richest nation in the history of the world. Mm-hmm. And we cry out for more. We have, you know, you can have children, for example, that just refuse to grow up, and they keep on expecting their parents to provide for them, and so you know, a parent would do an injustice to keep on providing, mm-hmm. you know, because they would never, they're never going to mature into being a man or a woman. They're going to be this child. Mm. And so you're actually repressing them from maturing as an adult.
Exactly.
And so, but the whole, but you look at America, and America's like a whole bunch of children that never grew up.
Yeah.
And they're demanding from people and government and everybody to give them something. And it's like, did it ever cross your mind to just do something? Like work mm-hmm. is so easy today in America that you can sit there and move your finger and cluck a few times with a headset on, and you could run reservations or for an airline, or you can, you know, work with a credit card company. You can do AAA, you know, help calls.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it doesn't even take any energy to do the jobs that we have, because in the history you go out, you had to go, not only did you do jobs like that, you know, that kind of jobs, but you know, you went out and worked, but you had to go home and grow the back 40 so you could eat.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, part of your daily life was, you know, you had to go pull the eggs from the chickens so that you could have eggs, but you know what? You had eggs. But my concern is this generation, we don't know anything about farming.
Mm.
We don't know anything. I encourage you, by the way, get some books on farming and just put them aside, because I really believe you're going to have a lot of time to read them, a lot of time to read them. And if you haven't yet, you need to go to VFN TV and you need to watch Prudent Preparation. But, you know, is it really wrong for us to return to the labors it takes to produce food? Is that really that bad, you know?
Right.
This is not good where we're at, but listen, with God in Psalms 91, we're walking with God. God says he'll protect you. He'll keep you. But see, this is how he does it. He speaks to you. He tells you what you need to know. Hear what my spirit is saying to the churches. So if you're not going to abide with God, you're going to ignorantly walk into danger and trouble. It's not that he's not protecting you. It's that you're not listening to the protector, you know?
That's right.
And so when we talk about abiding, you know, it's for your own, the best survival plan you can have is to listen to the creator of the universe. If you couldn't do anything else, learn now how to hear the voice of God. Learn now how to abide with him. And you need to mature in it the way you learn, like a child matures in hearing their parents' voice and how to respond to it. And you have to mature. You need to start now. Because mm-hmm. God's been speaking volumes over your life, but you haven't been speaking hearing his language. And,
that's right.
And a picture's worth a thousand words. And God will pour out, he's going to pour out his spirit on all flesh, and you're going to be prophecies and dreams. And he really does speak. God does speak. And I believe the voice of the Lord is available on VFN TV. And you can just hear some of our experiences, how, you know, we've heard God and God can do anything he wants to, ever how he wants to do it. But when you start hearing, oh my goodness, that means the Lord spoke to me. But right now, he is speaking volumes about the world. You know, men still want to rule the world. You need to go listen to that in your highlights or on VFN Torch. They really do. They still want to mm-hmm. rule the world. And the ones that are ruled are the ones who are not ruled by God.
Mm-hmm.
And the ones who just naively go, nah. That couldn't be.
Right.
So, I mean, a big survival plan. We'll talk more about it, but just be ready. Why is it, you know, if a hurricane's coming, you know, the difference between an earthquake and a hurricane, for example. And by the way, if you need a plan, we've got a simple plan for you for abiding. Go to iabide.org, iabide.org, and begin. Request your simple plan today. But if a hurricane's coming, listen, you want somebody to warn you.
Mm-hmm.
You want them. You want to, okay, it's you know, it's in the Gulf. You know, we're expecting it to hit on Tuesday. Today is Sunday.
Be prepared. Get your supplies. Do the things you need to do because it's coming.
Yeah. It's just like, and can you imagine? Look at this stupid. I can't believe they're telling us a hurricane's coming.
Mm-hmm.
That is, oh my goodness. They're wasting emergency broadcast services. You know, I can't believe mm-hmm. that they're sending me these messages. Aren't they? I can't. We all just shut up and quit telling us a hurricane's coming. You don't do that.
Right.
Yeah.
You don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Foolish ones. I remember when one hurricane came and you had this great destruction being broadcast, and they're sharing and they're doing their part to letting people know, there was always a group of people that were wise and prepared and got the things that they needed to get. And then there was a group that wanted a party on the very beach, on the shores that this storm was coming. And it's like, are you kidding me? And so this hurricane party, and I remember one year people got swept away. I don't know if they found them. One person got killed. And it's like, really? And it's like, there's a warning being declared. God is speaking. It's not time to sleep or time to not be awake. It's a time to pay attention. But those that paid attention, those that were wise, those that prepared, they were okay. You know, but I remember afterwards going into the grocery stores and just to see what people were doing. And I mean, bare, nothing.
Instantly, and it was people, they're empty.
And they were trying to look for stuff. And I just felt so bad. You know, I was prepared. Just getting a feel of what was happening. I was walking around and kind of seeing and thinking, wow, this is bad. For nothing like needing something and being prepared and you didn't listen. And now there's nothing there to get prepared and it's coming. You don't want to be that person.
You're so used to going to the gas station, there'd be gas.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, but when you sit there and you're getting gas, and we're about to take a break and move right back, and you got, you know, 400 cars behind you, and you know, are you just going to fill your tank up? Or are you going to fill an extra 5 gallon can up? Because when you do that, you have 400 people behind you, knowing that tank will run out at any moment and a truck is not coming. And you're caught in dilemmas and questions that you would never have to ask yourself when resources get limited.
Right.
And the strategy of the adversary who's doing these things to our country right now is to get us to a place like that where everybody kind of turns in and begins to just wonder and roam and fight over resources. And people will fight. If there's one loaf of bread and you got two mothers right there and they know that they didn't go shopping, and, you know, they will fight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, instead of taking half a loaf of bread and spreading it, you start panicking. Well, how long is this? Is it going to last a week, a day, a month, a year?
Mm-hmm.
And so everybody just starts gathering as much as they can. And since it's just-in-time inventory systems, that those that learn that in college and all, is that they only produce what you request for your shelves. They don't create the product, which means it's not a big, huge warehouse full of stuff you see on your shelves and your Walmart or your Target. It's waiting for somebody to request production, and which means when the shelves are emptied across the land, now they're going to have to produce the product. So if that, just that time alone, you're looking at a delay, but then add that with gas shortages and everything else, the trucks can't get to you, and the petroleum products that you make stuff, everything's got plastic and petroleum in it. Power. I really sense even in my spirit that, you know, there's things that could happen. There's things that our enemy would love to happen to us.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them would be rationing of everything. And I just sense it that they would love to say, okay, we're going to start rationing electricity. You know, and that's common in other countries. And, you know, Americans rationing anything would be interesting. Mm, but, you know, imagine, you know, that you only have a limited amount of time to be able to chill your food and do that type of thing, and it comes back down again. And digitally, you can do that now. You can say,
put a timer on that thing.
They put a timer on that thing. I want to encourage you. Listen, God's telling us the hurricane's coming, basically. Not a hurricane, but just this storm. We talked about the prophetic storm. So we can prepare.
Mm-hmm.
Just prepare. It's amazing that when you're prepared, you can just wait for the wind to blow over. You can wait for the storm. And when people are running the streets, you're just kind of relaxing and just going, you're still abiding and hanging out with God and just waiting for things to blow over or things to kick back in again, that type of thing. And you're calm.
Mm-hmm.
But let me tell you something, to know and not prepare, there's not a worse feeling.
Wow, this is so good when you think about it. Is it really about us?
Right.
Matt, is it really about us? I mean,
no.
You're looking at self-centeredness, and you're looking at a nation. You're looking at a church that really thinks that everything is revolving around them. And let me tell you something. It doesn't revolve around us. It revolves around Jesus Christ. You know, I just saw that today is the 333rd day of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only 33 days left in 2012. Just 33. A little over a month.
Amazing.
And the thing is, I mean, are we going to get this? Are we going to get this as a nation? Are we going to get this about a church, you know, as a church? That we need to turn our hearts to God. We need to fully, fully turn our hearts and say, God, it's all about you. It's not about us. You know, you have all these prophetic words. God has been speaking. We can't say that God hasn't been speaking. God's been speaking to us very clearly on everything that is about to happen.
Right.
And you know what? You know, I was just reading in the Word this morning, which was talking about that even during the time of Noah, God waited patiently. Right. God waited. God has been preparing arcs. He's been giving prophetic warnings. He's been sharing with us so that we can turn to it. We can turn our hearts to him. But we have to listen. We have to get our eyes off of ourselves and get our eyes actually on God so that we can actually see, know, and hear what it is that he's saying.
Right.
But if we're so self-absorbed and so self-focused, we're going to miss it. Listen, it's time for us. It's time for the church to lead the way. Let's get our eyes off of ourselves and let's get our eyes on the Lord so that we can turn our hearts completely and fully to him.
Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at bfntv.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at bfntv.com. You're listening to BFN Radio. For those that are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side.